monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whizzle, yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that. The flash,
the flash, the flash,
meet the mighty flash.
The flash, the flash,
in a fight he'll smash and crash, smash a whole gang of crooks or schnooks. Hey, he'll just clobber any kind of bad guy, thief or robber, the world's fastest human. Yeah, man, the flash,
the unbeatable flash.
Hello and welcome to another episode of FW Presents, the omnibus show for the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly, and joining me is our pal from the Hammer Podcast, Gene Hendricks. Hello, Gene.
Hello, Rob. Thank you for having me on for this.
Thank you. I'm very excited. This is, we're here to talk about geek fitness. Now, before you all turn off this podcast, let me jump ahead. Now, the reason we're kind of, Gene and I are doing this is something that has kind of been in Gene's life for a long time, in my life for a long time, and over the last, for me at least, over the last couple of years when I've been sharing my exercise routines on Facebook and stuff, I've gotten a lot of emails from people, a lot of people in the network and sort of outside the network, and been asking me about what my fitness routine is and what goals I've tried to achieve and how I do it and stuff like that. And I know Gene has achieved some extraordinary things through exercise. And so the sort of goal of this show was, first of all, we've never talked about this on a podcast. This is like a whole new, you know, subject. But I thought it would be worthwhile to get into this just briefly, a little bit about the kind of things that Gene and I have been doing and what we hope to achieve in the future. And maybe people that are listening to this, if you want to start exercising or you want to find a way to get it more regularly into your life, maybe this will be helpful. So that was kind of the goal of what we're doing here for this Geek Fitness episode. Now, originally, I wanted to kind of mainly talk about the Marvel Strength and Fitness book, which was the Mighty Marvel Comics Strength and Fitness book, which was one of those, you know, bound books that they put out, the Fireside books that Marvel put out in the 70s. And it features, as you might expect, the Marvel heroes exercising. It's got this great cover of Spider-Man doing leg lifts, the Hulk lifting some dumbbells, and Medusa, of all people, on the cover. I don't know why Medusa. And my original thought was I was going to buy a copy of this, and then Gene and I could share it, and we could look it over and talk about it. Unfortunately, the cheapest copy I could find on eBay was $70. So there went that idea.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah, that's not happening. Now, we did find some scans of it online, which we will put on the gallery post on fireandwaterpodcast.com, so you can see some of the things that this book was talking about. And, you know, basically the book is just various Marvel superheroes doing exercises. We've got Sue Storm, Thor, Silver Surfer, Ghost Rider, Power Man, Spider-Man, as I mentioned, J. Jonah Jameson even gets into the act, Submariner. It's all these guys doing these different exercises, and I always thought this was kind of, like, charming, you know, that Marvel would kind of like try to introduce this to their fans, because as we all know, comic book fans, not known for their fitness regimens. So,
not normally, no.
Yeah, not normally. So I thought it was a really cute book, and like I said, we'll post some scans on the site, but maybe someday I'll get a copy of this if I can find a cheaper one. But yeah, $70 is not really happening. But so in terms of you, Gene, like, when did you start kind of getting on this exercise routine? When did you start incorporating it into your life? And if you don't mind telling us, like, what were the reasons why you decided to do it?
Well, it was about 3 years ago now. Essentially, what was my daughter in about a month is going to be 9. So this is back when she was 5, just turning 6. It was actually it was a little over 3 years ago, because it was before our first trip to Walt Disney World as a family. And we were visiting my parents' house, and they live down the shore, which means that their house is up a bit so it doesn't get flooded. In fact, for those of you that remember a certain storm named Sandy, the water came right up to just below their front door.
Oh, boy.
So they were up high enough, which means that there are several steps to get into their house. And at this point, you know, I went up the steps and I was breathing on the heavy side. And my dad took me aside and said, listen, you got to do something about this. You should not be getting winded just coming into the house. And I don't remember what my weight was at the time, but I do know my heaviest weight was 316 pounds.
Wow. How tall are you?
6 foot.
Okay.
So that is way into the obese category, no matter what measure you want to use. So between my dad pointing that out and just realizing that I could not keep up with my daughter, I decided, okay, yeah, I got to do this. So I started mainly watching what I ate. And both Rob and I use this online – it's a website and an app. It's called MyFitnessPal. And it allows you to record what you eat. And I am a very analytical, one-track mind kind of person. So once I decide this is what I'm doing, then – that's what it was. And I log in every day. I put in what I'm eating. And it makes me the main thing is it makes me think. And if I'm thinking about what's going into my mouth, I can then reason, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should save these calories for a better dinner or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then involved with this, I was listening to a gentleman by the name of Matt Hunsworth, who is on the NeoZazz podcast network. And he's older than both you and I, Rob. Not by too much, but, you know, he's in our generation, but he's still older than us.
Okay.
And he was tracking his progress towards the Disney Goofy Race and a Half Challenge, which is it's a half marathon on Saturday and a full marathon on Sunday. Which is, in my opinion, goofy, hence the name. But I'm listening to him, and I'm like, wow, he can do this. You know, he's not in super better shape than me, but so I should be able to do something. So that's when I started getting into the actual physical activity. I started just walking. I would walk at my lunch hour just a half mile up the street and back, and it would get to the point where I was, you know, my pace was increasing. I said, well, hey, this ain't bad. Let's try a mile. And just kept doing that. And eventually I got into actually trying to run. And I can't do that at work.
You know, right, sure.
Come back after lunch all sweaty. So I started doing that in the morning and got to I have a route around my town, which is just over 5 kilometers. So I was doing that, you know, run, walk, essentially. And that's more or less what I was doing. Then my wife got a job where she works nights, and I'm not going to leave my daughter home alone, so now I'm back to walking at lunchtime. But the main thing about it is it's activity. You know, it's getting up off my butt and actually doing something. So how about yourself, Rob? How'd you get into all this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been running a long time. I've been running off and on for like 15 years. It was just something where I was like, you know, I'm not – I've gone to gyms off and on, but I find them indescribably boring. And every time I've ever had a gym membership, I never kept up with it. And I realized, you know what, if you have to force yourself to do it, if it's really like a painful process, you're never going to keep up with it. And so, you know, I just was never interested in developing muscles or anything like that. I really wanted to more slim down because I've always been – I was a skinny kid, and then once like puberty hit, like my metabolism just slowed way down, and that's when I got like a little pot belly, and you can see me in like family photos where I'm like this skinny kid, and then all of a sudden my shirts are like kind of like tight around the midsection, and I've always been a pretty voracious eater. My mom's a very good cook, and like, you know, she's Italian, so it's like this whole, you know, there's if 5 ounces of pasta are good, 6 are better. You know, that kind of thing. And I didn't have, you know, and of course, you know, and this is partly why we're kind of doing this on the network here is that, you know, it does tie in a little bit in terms of my interests. You know, I wasn't a physical kid. You know, I didn't want to play sports. I wasn't interested in that. I wanted to be inside and reading my comic books, which is, you know, not conducive to being in shape. You know, you have to really, you have to work extra hard to maintain that interest and stay in shape, and I just wasn't interested in it, and so I ended up, you know, always being heavier than I wanted to be. I got picked on in school for being heavy. I wasn't like big, but I was overweight, and I got picked on for it. I got picked on for that even as far into schooling as when I was at the Joe Kubert School. Yeah, I know, which was shocking to me because it was like, guys, aren't we a little past this? You know what I mean? Like, we're like, God, we can drive now. Like, what the hell? you know, but there were people there that made fun of me for being heavy. And it really bothered me, but I never knew what to do about it because I just didn't have the tools necessary to kind of piece it all together. So I started to run here and there, and I noticed it would make some difference, you know, occasionally. And then in my late 20s, I went to the doctor, and I realized that I had elevated blood pressure. Not high blood pressure, you know, not where it's like you got to go on meds immediately, but elevated. And it was the kind of thing where the doctor was like, you know, we need to get a handle on this before it gets out of hand. And so I tried to losing some weight, and it worked. And then I would kind of backslide, and then I sort of forgot about it for a little while. And you know, I didn't keep up with it. And then I was doing freelance illustration for almost 10 years, and I was able to exercise a lot then. And then in 2013, when I started working at the place I'm working at now, that's an office job. It's a sedentary job. And I didn't really notice how much weight I was putting on. And so I started that job in basically full time in May of 2013. And then in 14. And then at Christmas, I went to the doctor and I weighed, and this is very similar to what you're talking about in terms of you got that number. I weighed 240 pounds, which was the heaviest I've ever been. And it terrified me. It absolutely terrified me that I was pretty much halfway to 300 pounds. That was just shocking. And this was on Christmas Eve of, when I had the appointment.
Wow.
And yeah, and I decided, now I hate cold weather. I hate it, hate it, hate it. I love warm weather. As I get older, I'm becoming more and more intolerant of cold weather. But so I hate to run in cold weather, and I would basically give it up during the winter. But I was like, well, you can't do that anymore. You can't skip it. And I just decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to start running. And I ran that night. And that is when I reached out to my friend Chris. He told me about MyFitness app, which is really a lifesaver because, as Gene just talked about, like, you plug in all your food, and it sounds very tedious to have to do it. But once you get into the habit, it's pretty easy to do. And because it gives you the caloric amount of what you're eating, you really can, as you just talked about, Gene, you really can get a sense of how much is this worth it, you know? Where, like, you're about to eat, like, a Reese's peanut butter cup, and I'm like, boy, I love these things, but is it worth a half an hour of exercise? Not really, you know, not for the 15 seconds I'm going to enjoy it. So I started running all the time. I started paying attention to how many calories I should be eating. And in the space of basically a year and a half, starting by the time the end of summer rolled around last year, I got down to 183 pounds.
Wow.
Which was the lightest I've ever been, which means I lost 57 pounds, which is like two and a half of my dog. You know what I mean? Like, my dog weighs like 25 pounds. And I'm like, how am I carrying around 2 1/4 of my dogs on me all the time? You know, it just didn't. But I started liking how I looked. You know, I watched how my pants got bigger and bigger and bigger. And my face started thinning out. And so it became an incentive to keep going. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because I get these emails from people where they say, oh, I want to start exercising, but I could never run 5 miles. Well, nobody can.
Not off the couch.
Not off the couch. You don't start with that. And you hit on something that I really wanted to get at, which was you started small. You know, you started just walking at lunch for like half a mile. And that's how you get started. You do half a mile and it's a strain. And then you do half a mile and it suddenly is less of a strain. And then you do a mile and you build up to that.
Right.
And so, you know, that's how I made it. Now, like you, I have a route that is 2.5 miles up and 2.5 miles back. So it's the perfect route, and I can get it done in an hour. So it's the perfect route for me to take. So that is why I do as much as I do. And, you know, I have to get up super early to do it because of – and I think this is probably similar to you – is that, you know, you have to get your run done before you go to work, before your family's ready to have breakfast, before you have to do all your other stuff. So you kind of just – you know, figure out your day of like, well, if I have to be ready to have breakfast by 5:45, it means I have to be back in the house by 5:30, which means if I run for an hour, I got to get up at 4:30. You know, I wish I didn't have to get up that early, but I do. And it's one of those things where if I don't do it, I'm never going to do it. So I just started doing it. And once you got into that mindset of like, this is something I do every day, this is something that's part of my life, you really do kind of get addicted to it. And I will say, just yesterday, I didn't run because I slept through my alarm. I was so tired. And I felt kind of low-key the whole day. My body noticed the difference. I assume that you feel something, you go through that too?
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have the stick-to-itiveness that you do as far as the exercise goes. Basically, when my wife got the job, and because she works nights, she doesn't get home till 5:45 in the morning.
Wow.
Which is, I start work at 7. So essentially, she gets home, we talk for a little bit, I go to work.
It's like that Warner Brothers cartoon with the sheepdog and the sheep punching the clock out.
Morning, Fred. Morning, Ralph.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I get home, I have to pick our daughter up at school, well, at summer camp now, because it's summer. And I get home a little after 5, get her up, I make dinner, we have dinner, we talk for a little bit, she leaves for work at 6:30. So I don't, because my daughter's not old enough to leave her at home by herself. It's not that I don't trust her, but I don't trust her. And so I kind of, since September, have not been as active as I should be, which is why I backslid a little on the weight. But just recently, I have started doing, you know, the weather's nice. I can go out lunchtime. So I'm doing – so right now my routine is I walk just over 2 miles at lunch. It only takes me just over half an hour. So I still have a half hour of lunchtime that I can – you know, get my breath back, have my yogurt, which is all I eat for lunch, and then get back into work. So I've gained some weight back, which is now I'm back in the mindset of, okay, this is far enough. Get back to where you were. Because
mm-hmm.
I initially got down to 216, which
– that's amazing.
For those of you that can do math, that's 100 pounds.
That is unbelievable.
But I'm back up. I weighed myself this morning because I knew we were doing this tonight. And I'm back up to 255. So I got to get that 40 pounds off again. So, you know, and part of it is, oh, we went back to Walt Disney World, so I was on vacation for 10 days. And,
that'll do it. Yeah, you know, that'll do it.
I didn't need a calzone bigger than my head, but I did have desserts and stuff. So now I'm back in it. I'm not getting any higher than this. Right. So I'm going to get back down to where I was. But I mean, still, you know, I'm, what, 10 pounds over your heaviest ever? And I'm still 60 pounds down from where I was.
That is unbelievable. I mean, you told me that when we had dinner that one time, I think like 2 years ago at this point. And that is, you deserve all the commendations in the world because 100 pounds is just unbelievable. I mean, I know people that weigh less than 100.
The problem is keeping it off, as I'm proving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's just it. You have to be vigilant about it. And mm-hmm. I fully admit, I screwed up. I did not do what I had to do. And, you know, I'm getting back where I don't want to be health-wise. But if you stick to it, if you're like Rob and you run every single day – or you're like me and you log into the food app for the what I hit today, 1,270 days in a row, something like that.
Unbelievable. That's fantastic.
That's called single-mindedness here. It's my routine. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to be much more vigilant. I went from when I hit my goal, I went to maintain weight on it,
mm-hmm.
which gives you more calories. Well, now I'm back to no. Lose a pound a week.
Yeah, right.
So I'm back down in – I think it knocked off like 300 calories a day or something. So I'm back down to where I am. I've got purpose-built meals, dinners in there. So I can say, okay, well, we're going to have – and I'm the one that cooks, so I know what we're going to do. So uh-huh. I can have this tonight. You know, homemade burgers. Okay, bang. That's the roll, the burger, the cheese, the side, the ketchup. All built in there. I know how many calories that is. And during the week, my breakfast, two Dannon Light and Fit vanilla yogurts. My lunch, the same. So that's 160 calories for breakfast, 160 calories for lunch. So I can have a decent dinner and maybe a snack at the end. Depends how I'm feeling, really. Mm-hmm. So it's really a mindset. And those of you that are listening that think, oh, I could never do this, I was 316 pounds. Since then, I have run 3 5K races.
Unbelievable.
This, I'm the kid that didn't want to do the mile in gym class. And I'm running races. I mean, how nuts is this? And I was never the skinny kid. I was always the big kid, like Fezzik in Princess Bride. It's not my fault I'm the biggest and the strongest. I don't even exercise. But I was. I was always the tall kid. I was always the heavy kid. And I wasn't super heavy because my parents made sure I played sports. I played soccer for 8 years, which is why I have 2 bad knees. That much meat running around up and down the field is not good for your legs. But it's just a matter of doing it. I never, ever thought I would be the one doing it. But I am. And it's like Rob said, it gets addictive. So once you start down the exercise path, forever will dominate your destiny.
Yeah, it's very surreal to me that, like, among kind of like our podcasty universe group on Facebook, like, I'm the one known as like the fitness nut. That is so not, you know, my persona growing up. But yeah, I mean, it's funny you were talking about backsliding because, like, as I mentioned, I hate running in the winter. And 2 winters ago, you know, I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to put some weight back on because I'm not going to run as much. And I'm going to eat more because it's the holidays and, you know. And I put 20 pounds back on. And I was really mad at myself. I'm like, damn it, you know, all that work to backslide 20 pounds. And so last summer, when winter showed up, I was like, okay, I'm really going to pay attention to this and make sure I don't – I mean, I know I'm going to backslide a little, but not that much. And I really didn't pay attention to how much I gained. I could just sort of look in the mirror and see how big my pants were. And I knew I hadn't done too badly. And then I got weighed about 2 months ago, and I was like, well, my low was 183. If I'm 193, that'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And I was 187. I only gained 4 pounds over winter.
That's great.
I was like, whoop-de-doo, you know? Like, let's time for a Slurpee, you know? I mean, I was just like, this is – and part of the reason that I do it so much now in the summer, like I said, is to take advantage of the wind, of the weather. To me, there really is no level of heat that's going to bother me versus cold. Anything dips below 55 and I'm miserable, but if it's 95, I'm fine.
So you and I are the exact opposite there. Oh, okay. I could go out in the cold all day long, but it gets above 90 and I'm dying.
I'm Tatooine over Hoth any day. but I realized that if I overdo it in the summer and I lose more than I even need to, well then when the winter comes around, I've got some give. You know, if I get down all the way down to like 180 pounds over the summer, well, if I gain 10, I'll be fine in the winter. You know what I mean? It really does become, like I said, it becomes an addiction, but it's a good addiction. Because also when you start to learn to eat less, you realize how much less you need to eat. You know, yeah. I emotionally eat. I eat a lot because I'm bored, or I eat a lot because I'm in a bad mood and it's a reward, or, you know, Shag said something mean to me and I go and I eat. I mean, it's just, these things happen, and that happens a lot. And, and it's when you have to plug it into a website and you get to see that number, it really does help focus you to kind of be like, you know what? I really, you know, yeah, I could eat this, but man, I'm going to see, you know, like I love, like one of my big weaknesses food wise is like soft pretzels. Like, I cannot resist a soft pretzel.
Do you live in the wrong area?
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. Talk about it. But, I mean, like, you know, I plug them in, and the salt content is so nasty that it just makes me go, oh, okay, maybe I don't really need this. And, again, a lot of it is for the blood pressure. I mean, I have friends that weigh 300 pounds, and their blood pressure is fine. But I seem to have this weird Bermuda Triangle thing where if I tip over 200, my blood pressure spikes up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could be 195 and the blood pressure is fine, but I'm 202 and vroom, there it goes. And I told my doctor this, that, look, if I exercise my butt off and I still need blood pressure medication because my blood pressure just will not go down, then so be it. I'm not one of those people that's like, well, I'm not going to take medicine. I'm willing to take medicine, but if I can do it by myself, if I can do it on my own, I'd rather do it on my own.
Right.
And now that I've seen that diet and exercise will basically handle it, then let's just keep doing that. And so, and in terms of the running, I mean, people have asked me, like, you want to be in a race or be in a marathon? And that doesn't interest me because I like
the solitude.
Solitude. I like the solitude. I you know, I always make sure I have more podcasts to listen to than I ever could possibly need. And I have a couple of shows that are like my favorite ones to listen to because they're like particularly entertaining. And those are the things and then when I'm getting a little low on the podcast, I buy like an audiobook and I go and I listen and I like being out there by myself, not really interacting with anybody. And I like the solitude of it. That's why I'm lucky that I found something exercise wise that fits what I want as opposed to going to the gym. You know, like mm-hmm. I said, I get bored with that. That gets tiresome, but I like being out there by myself in the morning. And so you exercise, like you do it during lunch. Like have you found like me that like, you know, you might try and do it after work, but it never works out that way because your life just, things just get in the way at that point.
Well, basically after work, like I said, I have to come home. I have to pick my daughter up. I have to wake my wife up, make dinner, get everyone served. So
you're busy.
I can't. That's why I was like you getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
To go exercise because then I could. Then I had the time and then I could come home, shower, get ready for work and, right. You know, be fine for the rest of the day. Something else I've learned through all this, and maybe you've got it too, is I now understand it's okay to be hungry.
Yes.
When I was a kid, that yes. that never worked. It was, oh, I'm hungry, I must eat. No. You can be hungry. I'm sitting here on the computer. I've had my dinner. I'm still a little bit hungry. That's fine.
Yep.
I don't have to deal with it. I'm not starving. I'm just, I guess the best term would be peckish. That's fine. That can be how you are. You don't have to automatically put something in your mouth to take that feeling away.
Yeah, that's a big realization. That is a big realization when you're like, not, you know, not, I don't need to satiate every little hunger pang that I get. Sometimes it's fine just to be like, okay, yeah, I could eat a little more, and that's fine, you know. And like I said, I have realized that once I started losing as much weight as I have, like when I overeat, I feel terrible.
Oh, you know, yeah.
I feel
it hits you.
Awful.
It's like someone punched you in the chest.
Yeah.
Really, you just feel like, what did I do to myself?
Yes, yeah, that is absolutely the case, and I don't like that feeling, and knowing I've done it to myself is like, well, you know, when I was a kid, my mom was overfeeding me, that's one thing, but now you're doing it to yourself, you know, but it's funny, you mentioned, I wanted to get back to this too before we get off, like you mentioned going that you got off track because of your vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I brought running gear and sneakers to Heroes Con. Because I was like, I'm only going to be gone 3 days, but damn it, I don't want to miss exercising. And I went to the gym, the hotel gym, on the first day, which was fine. But it just, like, and then that night, as has been mentioned in other podcasts, I drank a little too much and was hungover the next day. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to the gym today. And then I skipped it on Sunday, and I felt a little bad about that. But I did at least give it the old college try. I mean, I did get on the treadmill, and I did try, and I did my pull-ups and stuff like that. And so I did try and do something just to not get thrown off. But if I ever do a big vacation like you're talking about, which is doubtful because we just don't really go away for that long period of time, I will have to make sure I do it because I would not want to get off track for that long. That would just eat away at me.
Yeah, I mean, considering how much walking we did because there's no way
to Disney World, right? You're walking around.
Yeah, so I calculated it out. I can't remember how many miles we walked over the days we were there, but it was some astronomical amount. And even then, I put on weight because it's, oh, yeah, I'm on vacation. Yeah, I'll have that chocolate cake. Or,
right, sure.
Yeah, I'll have pancakes for breakfast. Is,
right.
You know, so if I had actually gone and exercised on top of all the walking, maybe it wouldn't have been as bad. But, I mean, I'm not going to knock myself out on vacation, especially you know, with my daughter there.
Right.
Because if I'm not in a pleasant mood, no one's in a pleasant
mood. Right. It's the happiest place on earth. How can you be in a bad mood?
Oh, there are ways.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, yeah.
Mainly people with strollers ahead of me.
Okay, right. Got it. Yeah.
But, I mean, I was always conscious of it, though. You know, I knew I was doing this. I knew it wasn't the best idea, but, you know, I don't we go once every 3 years, okay? And maybe I can deal with it then. But now that I'm back on track, you know, I think maybe next time I will pack the running shoes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one, you know, something that I learned that helped with other parts of my life is that I have been struggling with this weight for basically 35 years. You know, I'm 45 now, and basically 10 or 11 was when it really kicked in. And so this has been something I've been failing at for over 3 decades. And it got to the point where I was like, well, I'm never going to accomplish this. I just don't know how to do it. And then once I had the tools in front of me, and it really was just the combination of running and the MyFitnessPal, that was really it. It wasn't some, you know, real complicated thing. It was just figuring out, you know, it's basically a math problem. You know, you're like, how many calories am I supposed to consume, and how many did I consume? If you are vastly below what you're supposed to consume, you are going to lose weight fast. If you are above it, you're not. That's it. You know, that you don't need a book. You don't need any of these $24.95 hardcovers explaining you should only eat meat or something. You don't need any of that stuff. You really just need to figure out, how many calories am I taking in versus how many I should have? And once I accomplished this, once I was able to look at myself in the mirror and see the face, all joking aside, see the face that I wanted to see in terms of like, hey, look, a chin line, it made me feel like I can do anything. It made me feel as though that there was no other goal, whether it be weight related or not, that I couldn't achieve because I achieved this, you know? And it is very rewarding to be 45 and be in the best shape of my life. That makes me feel fantastic. And, you know, I was worried about doing this episode because I didn't want it to come across and be like, oh, hey, look how great we're doing, guys. You know, that kind of thing. But it really is very rewarding to know you have achieved something that you thought was impossible to do. And when I got weighed last summer and I saw 183, I just couldn't believe it, you know? And it makes me want to apply that confidence to anything else that I want to try. Because it's like, if you can do this, if you can get up every morning and run, do that 5 miles in the rain, in the whatever, you're going to do it, then you can, there's really not much else can stop you.
Yeah, and like Rob said, this is not us tooting our own horn, maybe a little, but it's more meant to put the same tools that we've learned about in your hands. And yeah, it is a math problem, and we're geeks. We love math problems. So this is something, and that's exactly what got me doing it, is something my sister said to me, and it's like, God, you're all about math. That's all this is. You can do it. And yeah, really, you track what you do, and even if you only do one of the two, if you only do the exercise or you only do the diet, it's going to make a difference.
Yep.
You do both in combination, and it's like the heavens open up. It's amazing the feeling you get when you accomplish something like this. And we can't tell you to do it. You have to do it of your own volition. Anytime someone pushes you into something, it's never going to stick. You have to decide to do it on your own.
Right, and no one's going to keep pushing you to do it. You have to, yeah, no, there's no one is going to constantly be pushing you.
You have to be self-motivated. And if you need help, if you need advice, the two of us are here. There's going to be the comment section on the Fire and Water website for this episode. We can answer anything. You can contact me privately on Facebook. I'm sure you can do the same with Rob. If you're embarrassed about doing it in public, come to us in private. We will give you advice, encouragement, whatever you need to get you on the path to being healthier. And that's all we want to do, is we want to make sure that everyone listening to this lives to a ripe old age because they are healthy.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because that is one other thing I wanted to mention was, just before we recorded this, I got an email from, and I'll say, because I told him I was going to say this in there, from Pat Sampson, who does the Long Box Crusade podcast. And he told me that him and his wife had started to do long walks, and he was asking me for a little bit of advice. And he didn't know we were going to do this. This was just completely serendipitous. And he suggested, and I told him, I said, well, that's funny that you say that, Pat, because Gene and I are going to do this episode all about geek fitness. You know, like, what great timing. And so Pat suggested maybe doing something like a sort of like geek running club, where we set something up where everybody can put in what they've done and they get goals, whether, you know, if you achieve a certain amount of runs or a certain amount of miles, you get, I don't know, you get to become Wolverine or some crazy, you know, designation. But I mean, I wouldn't know necessarily how to put that together, but it definitely is of interest to me, because part of the reason that I always mention that I run 5 miles on Facebook, part of it is to motivate other people, because people have said that's really very motivating, is to see you're up there and doing it. But it's also to motivate myself, because I know that if I don't do it, people will notice. You know, if I don't, part of my reward for running is getting to go on Facebook and typing that. And hitting post. And that's kind of an important thing to me, because yeah, I am bragging a little bit, I guess, but it's affirmation for myself that, yeah, you got to do this. I plug it into my, literally I have the routine. I come back in from my run. I take the dog out for a brief walk because she's all excited. I sit down, I plug it into my Fitness Pal. And then literally the next thing I do is go to Facebook and write ran 5 miles. It has become part of the routine. And so it becomes this sort of virtuous circle where, it's by the fact that I do it, it's inspiring other people, but it's also the fact that other people get to see it inspires me to keep doing it. And, you know, the mornings where I'm really tired and I don't want to get up, I force myself to get up and do it. And by the time I put my running gear on, I'm ready to go, you know. And then, you know, one other little detail that I learned from just doing it is, and maybe you've experienced this too, Gene, especially when you're running in the mornings, is getting all your stuff ready the night before.
Oh, yeah.
That is such a, like, getting your keys out, getting your phone out, getting your shit, like, not having to root through all your stuff in the morning really helps. And so literally, like, the last thing I do before I go to bed is I have one separate keychain that I take with me, just one house key, and I put that by my phone. And that way all my stuff is in one spot when I get up and ready to go. And it's, you know, once I got into that routine, it really did become kind of an addictive thing. And I would not recognize the 20-year-old me that would eat, you know, peanut butter cookie sandwiches for dinner does not recognize the 45-year-old me, and I'm happy about that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I've like I said, I got two bad knees, so I part of my stuff is I had knee braces, ankle braces, but also the phone, the keys, my headphones, because unlike you, Rob, when I'm running, I listen to music.
Okay.
Because the tempo helps me keep
going.
Sure,
sure.
You know, plus, I have it on random, and the playlist I have two, here are my running rules, because I don't run the whole way. I'm not built like that. I have not been able to do it yet. I will get there eventually. But if I'm on pavement, I run. Always.
Okay.
Mainly to get out of the way of cars.
Helpful.
But there are plenty of sidewalks around here, so if there's a place to go on a sidewalk, I go on the sidewalk. If either eastbound and down or gonna fly now, come on, I have to be running.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
And I defy anyone who's out exercising listening to Gonna Fly Now to not run. Mm-hmm. It's just because it gets going. And there have been times where I've been going, and my route is uphill and downhill because that's the way the town is. And it could be I just finished running. I'm going to start walking a little bit. Gonna Fly Now comes in, and it's an uphill section. Well, crap. Got to do it. And it's amazing because, I went from barely being able to walk a half mile to now, I mean, I'm not running at the moment, but Like, I'll do, I wrote this down from yesterday because today I, with the weight and going to do this tonight, I think I pushed myself a little hard at lunchtime. Mm-hmm. But yesterday I did 2.16 miles in 31 minutes and 11 seconds.
Very good.
That's 14 minutes and 27 seconds per mile.
Mm-hmm.
Walking. So, because my philosophy is, if I'm doing it, I better have a higher heart rate.
Yes.
You know, what's the point of just moseying around? But I didn't get there to start with. I started, and I was like at 20 minutes a mile.
Right.
You know, I've whittled it down. It's the main thing, and they have these programs and goals, you know, the couch to 5K and everything. Doesn't matter what your end goal is. You need to take the first step. You need to start small, even if you're just going to walk around your block once a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Doesn't have to be – you don't have to try and match my pace. Do your own pace. Just get up and do it. And I sound like a motivational speaker. I know. But you don't know how good it is for you. And how good you will feel until you get this started. And I'll end there because I don't want to sound like I'm harping on it. It's just that I never, ever, when I was in high school, and like I said, in gym classes, it was time for the mile run. You know, I'm the big kid that doesn't want to deal with it. You know, I wouldn't even be able to get around 1 mile that fast then. When I was 17, I'm 41,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing this, mm-hmm. and it's nothing. You know, I get my wind back pretty easily, and it's just amazing. I mean, part of the reason I did the races is I wanted to do it with people.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I did was the Rocky Run, which, yes, it starts and ends at the Art Museum in Philadelphia. No, you do not run up the steps. I would be dead because I'm a klutz. But I knew people that were going there, and we all did in a big group. And then the next one I did was it was down the shore. It was called the Totally Awesome 80s Run, and it's as fun as it sounds. And we got a team together, and we just said, "Hey, we want to do this. Let's have the best time we can." And we dressed up as 80s wrestlers.
Oh, my goodness.
And because I had the beard, I grew it in a little bit, and I was Macho Man. complete with the sunglasses. But it's just because it was fun. I was with my friends. I was doing something healthy. And we had a good time doing it. And I never, in my wildest dreams, would think running 3 miles was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how your worldview shifts when you start doing stuff like this. And like I said, my main motivation is my daughter. I want to be able to keep up with this kid. And right now I am. In fact, there have been times when she's gone out on her bike and I've got my running shoes on and we just go. And just, you know, see how fun it is. And then, okay, that's enough. Let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just, it's good for you. It's good. For me, it's good for my family, and I would recommend that everyone try. You don't have to succeed. You don't have to be the next Flash, but you have to try. Yeah, and I'm sure that everyone listening to this can benefit from what Rob and I have discovered, that it's not hard. I had pizza for dinner tonight. You don't have to give up the stuff you love.
Yeah, you're not eating lettuce for
right.
dinner. I had chili for dinner today, vegetarian chili, but I had chili for dinner. Yeah, you really can. I have not made huge changes to my diet other than reduction of volume. But
right.
But in terms of what I eat, I generally get to eat what I want. And because I exercise so much, there are times where I do get to indulge because it's like, well, you know what? I burned an extra 1,200 calories today. And in fact, as soon as we're done here, Darla and Tracy and I are going to go for our nightly walk. You know,
there you
it's
go.
Something we work into our lives. And it does sound so simplistic, you know. I mean, it's a marketing phrase to just do it, but it really is just that. And so for anybody, again, that's reached out to Gene or to me and just say, you know, I don't think I could ever do that, you absolutely can. You got to do it gradually, but you absolutely can do it, and you will be amazed of how good you will feel, and it'll almost make you feel better about all the other sedentary stuff that you do because you have this whole other part of your life that's different than that.
You can sit on the couch and play a video game knowing that you just went out and walked a mile.
Yeah.
You know, it's you don't feel guilty about it because you've essentially paid for it. That's one of the things we try and do. We have a pizza parlor that's a couple blocks away from us. So when we want to have pizza, the best thing to do is call them, and they do not deliver.
Oh, interesting.
We call them, order the pizza, and then walk. And we go the long way, because the long way, going there and then looping back, is 1 mile.
Oh, there you go.
So you just paid for your pizza.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Yeah, it's, like I said, I would never give it up. I would never give it up. I'm so, you know, it's such a part of my life now that, you know, I joke about with Tracy that if we lived in California, I would look like an Olympian. I would be running all year round because of the warm weather. You know, I'd be like, are you kidding? I'd be in the most amazing shape. But I'm doing pretty well for again, my age at this point and how much my interests are so sedentary. It's comic books and podcasting, which is just sitting in a chair all day. But yeah, it's like I said, everybody give it a try. And if everybody is interested, if there's anybody interested in doing a sort of podcasty geek running club, let us know. Maybe we could put that together. I would be open to that. It's just a matter of sort of organizing it and seeing who's interested. But it's if everybody can inspire one another. I mean, part of the thing, I don't want to speak for Shag, but we've talked about this on the air. I mean, part of the rewarding thing about us doing the Fire and Water podcast for so long is that we've seen so many people that never had podcasts now go on to do podcasts because they heard us do it. I mean, they're like, if those two idiots can do it, we can do it. And, you know, that's amazingly rewarding. So if there's anything where we can help people get inspired to get up and move around and get a little healthier, then it's fantastic. And so that was kind of why Gina and I wanted to do this. We talked about doing this a while back. We finally got around to doing it. So is there anything else we want to hit on before we sign off, Gene?
No, I think we've beat it into the ground enough.
I think so. I think it's fair enough. Or you could say we've run it into the ground. That is the Geek Fitness. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And as Gene said, if you want to leave comments on our site, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com, please do. If you want to write Gene privately or write me privately to talk about exercising, we would love to share whatever advice we have to impart. So, Gene, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this. This was great. When we had dinner a couple of years ago, and I don't even remember how we got on the conversation, but we did. We were sitting there at the diner, and you talked about your running, and I got into mine, and it was like, wow, I didn't know anybody that was doing it to the level that I'd been doing it.
So one's doing it to the level you're doing it.
Well, you know what I mean. But hey, in terms of the results, man, you're blowing me out of the water. I mean, 100 pounds, dude, that is an unbelievable achievement.
Now I just got to get back there.
All right. Well, hey, you did it there once. You can do it again.
Yeah, that's the main thing is once it has been achieved, it can always be re-achieved.
Yep, absolutely. That's true. So where can people find you on the internet?
Well, if you want to read what I write, every Thursday I do a blog post at thehammerstrikes.com as general geeky stuff, mainly random musings from my noggin. Last week was a mashup between Smokey and the Bandit and Star Wars, so that's you know where my mindset is.
1977 was a big year.
I have to figure out how to work in Saturday Night Fever in there now. But I am also to be found on the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network. My shows are more or less on hiatus for the same reason I'm not running as much anymore, family life. But I have been guest starring on a whole mess of shows, so you can find me over there or on the Quarterbin Podcast Episode 100, Part 3, coming soon, or somewhere on NeoZaz. I'm just all over the place. I apparently like to hear myself talk.
I think we all do. So, I know I do, because everybody knows I host like half a dozen shows over on the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I don't need to get through them all right now. But like I said, if you want to leave a comment for me and Gene, we would love to get some feedback and to hear about like your running experience, your exercise experience, your diet experiences, This is going to be a whole new avenue of discussion on the network, which I think would I think both Gene and I would find very interesting. So leave comments over on the website, which is fireandwaterpodcast.com. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Go out there and go run around, go move around, and we will see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.